Welcome to the show about great recommendations and the people who make them. This is What's Good.
Call my name, I'll be there any night and any day.
How's it sound? Coming at you.
What's up, party people? Eric, what's up, my man?
How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. End of the week, recording this on a Friday. Yeah. You just had a long drive from Orange County to San Diego. I just had a long day staring into my little box of lights for the last 12 hours. So,
what would you rather
do? Fired up
in traffic or do the screen?
Straight up. Yeah. That's a tough one. That's Sophie's choice of like undesirable things to do on a Friday.
Yeah. For me, the drive wasn't as terrible in the sense that like I didn't have an appointment I was trying to get to, so there was no time that I had to arrive. Right. And you know, had the wife in the co-pilot seat, so we just got to catch up. So it was, could have been worse, but nothing
so
worse than being in LA and you're late for an appointment and you're just seeing the stacking.
I think the only thing that like makes it even more unpleasant is when you also have to take a leak and you're the center of the 405 and there's not even an exit strategy to find a Starbucks. You're just like searching for a bottle.
Pickle jar. That's the key.
When you're busy, a long drive with wife is actually really nice, man. That last little tiny break I got where we went up to those hot springs, I was like, wow, we don't have a screaming toddler in the car and we can actually like, when do we ever even get to talk? We're just passing by each other, even though like we're working from home, it's still like you're flying by.
You're just stuck together in a little
time.
Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Well, hey, this is going to be fun because speaking of staring into our little box of lights all day, you and I basically from before sunrise to past sunset are usually staring into these computers using some kind of SaaS product, you know, like it just, I was thinking about the other day, we're in one of these little portals or another all day, every day, rotating through them. And I don't know if I'd say I love any of them because they all relate to a bunch of work we have to do.
Right.
But I would say that we couldn't get by without them. They've become like this intrinsic part of our workflow.
Yeah.
For sure.
They are ubiquitous. They are everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to play a little game, man. This is going to be fun.
Okay.
I've got some top of mind. Some of these, I mean, if I had to, I could just swing at that meatball coming right over home plate because they're just easy no brainers. Like, of course we use that. Everybody uses that, right? But I think I have a couple gems that maybe people haven't heard of. Like, I think I have some that you don't even know that I use.
Oh, I'm sure
cool.
There are, especially around this whole world of podcasting.
Okay. To be fair, I'm going to kind of go after like standard business practice.
Okay.
Founders, entrepreneurs. I'm not going to go like deep in the weeds of content creators and media because you know that I've been kind of obsessed with that whole genre of entrepreneurship lately. So I won't go there. I won't go like, you know, editing tools and stuff like that. I'll try to keep it useful for everybody. But here's the deal. If you call one, I can't use it. And if I call one, you can't use it. That's just the way it's going to be. So I'll let you go first because I'm just a generous guy.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of think of it through, you know, through our sales cycle, right?
Okay.
So one of the very first SaaS products that I use after maybe having a conversation might be sending a mutual NDA.
Ooh.
And so the tool that I use to do that is DocuSign.
Dude, you pulled out the DocuSign. Wasn't even on my radar, man.
Yeah.
And as far as longevity, I think we've been using DocuSign for like 13 years.
We have.
Which is crazy.
It's been a mainstay. And we have, you know, our mutual NDA in there. We have contractor agreements. We have, you know, several other like onboarding documents. And, you know, I know you usually take a pass at it every 3 or 4 years because things have changed.
Right.
But other than
things,
that, other than that, it's been really great. And, you know, it's tried and true. So
DocuSign. It's one of those bookmarks. It just sits up in my bookmark bar and I've seen it for so many years. I don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so wild. Now we use different tools to exchange signatures and do deals, but we're not putting our NDAs through there. We're not putting like agreements through there. And I'm not sure why. It's funny because I remember at some point DocuSign had some sort of secret sauce where I don't know what digital software lords anointed it an official signature. Yeah. But I remember, I think it was maybe during like a fundraising or something. It had to be like, it was either going to be a wet signature or it could be DocuSign, but it couldn't have been like the whole slew of other signature SaaS products that were coming up.
Yeah.
Should we even still be using it? I don't know. Like,
I find it pretty convenient still for ripping out those mutual NDAs. But and you
what
can
do we
fill,
pay for it? Do you have any idea? I don't know. What I is think it? How much a month is DocuSign?
$29 a month or something like that, if I had to guess.
Probably shouldn't even be using it, man.
I'd have to check. But yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, man, so this wasn't even on my list, but now I'm going to go with Proposify. So Proposify is another SaaS product, and it's just basically a web tool for sending proposals. But here's what it can do that I think is really cool. They give you templates, which I'm not going to lie, they're kind of rough. They're not the prettiest templates out of the box, right? But if you don't have any design skills, they're probably better than just a sheet of white paper. And you can add things to them and you can make them your own. But what's cool is if you have a bunch of different service offerings, you can create these different types of templates and you end up with these little modules. So you might have your terms of service module, or you might have your pricing module. You might have your team module, your work method and workflow module. Or if you have a bunch of different services, you could have a module for each one of the services. So you end up putting together proposals like a little Lego set. And as opposed to like trying to do that from, I don't know, like Google Slides or Google Docs or anything else, I mean, it would just, yeah. I mean, because that's what we used to do. I think we used Pages, like Apple Pages. And it was a nightmare every time, right? So this way you can do it really fast. But the really cool part is then when you send it out, you actually get analytics back based on what the recipient does. So for example, if they dwell on your, you know, explanation of services for 15 minutes, and it wasn't really that deep of an explanation, maybe you should explain things better, right? You get this, you get this feedback, right? Or maybe they're really stuck on that price page, and you get to see how many times it was opened. So that one's really cool. And then of course, I think they also offered like a way to transact in there too, like, because of course they did, right? Who doesn't want to get the little rip on the merchant account processing fees? But
I never saw that part of it.
We don't use it for that. Yeah, I think they did that. Even, and this wasn't on my list, but Calendly, even Calendly now, like if somebody books an appointment and it's like a coaching call or something, right? Calendly will let you transact. I think everybody is trying to add the layer of transacting on top of whatever they're offering because they can just make more money for essentially doing nothing after they build it, right? So. Yep. Proposify, super cool. You're up, bud.
Well, you did just take the one I was going to say next is Calendly.
Damn.
And I think it is worthy.
You can have it. I didn't call it. Yeah, yeah.
I know
yeah.
you didn't call it. And because I'm going to go all over the place in the sales process. Well, how did I get that person on the phone to even send them a mutual NDA? Well, I had some call booked. And I would say the most used SaaS platform, the most convenient, time-saving one that I use, I'm going to say is Calendly. No more of like, hey, what does your schedule look like next week? How does Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific? Like none of that. So Calendly, I'm sure most people listening to this know about it, but if you don't, it allows you to integrate with your calendar, show what availability you want, which is nice. So if you want to start only taking calls after 10 a.m. or whatever, you can customize your availability. You send them the link. You can even customize the type of interaction, whether a Zoom call, a Google Meet, or just a regular phone call. And they can instantly look at their calendar and cross compare that with what availability you have. And then it sends them a link, a calendar invite, and it's all done. You can even ask questions in there. So we get a little bit more insight as to maybe what the call is about, or you can just make it a little bit more personable. I know we have stuff in there like, you know, I'm into music. What are you listening to these days? Just to make it a little bit more, you know, personal and fun. So I
love that part
absolutely
of it.
Love Calendly. And yeah, I use it every single day.
It's one of those ones too, where you're like, everybody has that, but no, you still get people like, hey, let's have a call. When are you available? here's my Calendly link. What do you mean? When are you available? Are we really still doing this? Like, are we gonna send 5 emails back and forth saying, nope, that time doesn't work for me. How about this time? Nope, that time doesn't work for me. I do like that they evolved the product over time too, right? It's not one of those things that has just stayed stagnant. Like, they added the questions and they added the Teams ability, right? So now
we
can see each other's Calendly links. We can have a team Calendly link that looks for everybody's availability, combining their calendars. Like, that's so cool. That's a really good one.
Yeah. Okay, scary part is that once someone has your link, they can just book as many calls as they want with you. So we've had some clients that take advantage of, like, knowing that they can just grab a time on your calendar whenever you want. So maybe having a way to, you know, hibernate it or pause that for certain clients would be fun. But other than that, I absolutely love the product.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, man, I'm just going to have to take this one. You're a surfer. You know, like when you're sitting there and you're waiting for a set and that wave's coming up and you're about to drop in and you look left, you look right, you're like, I could go either way. I could tear this up. I could go off the lip. I have all these options. But what do? You just go straight. You just let it, you just ride it right into the white water because you're lazy. That's what I'm about to do, man. I'm going to ride this one like straight off the white water on my belly. GPT-4.
Okay.
GPT-4, man. Okay. But hear me out. This is why I'm going to call it out, because when AI first started coming out, and it really was in the form of these little text-based prompts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, tell me a cool story about a little boy who lives on the moon and da-da-da. And then it gives you a very dull children's story. Oh, this is so amazing, right? And we'd see all these cool little tricks and wonder, huh, I wonder what this is really going to be useful for. Because if I ask it to write my blog post, the blog post is objectively horrible, right? And then the more people that you saw doing things like that with GPT, you would just spot the AI everywhere, and you'd spot the language like spot on and weird analogies that it somehow clings to, like, hey, that's just like having a treasure map and looking for the chest that you found on. I'm like, why do you use that same analogy? This is so weird, right?
Yeah.
So I was kind of wondering, okay, well, this is really cool. Where's it going to go? And then I started using it here and there. Like, I did find ways, and I started learning more about this whole art of prompt architecture, of being able to write really good prompts to get really good outputs. Then Pandora's box opened. They opened up this ability to create these custom GPTs, right? So for anyone who doesn't know, a custom GPT is basically a prompt that sticks. So if I have a task that I do all the time, and maybe before I kept that prompt like on, you know, an Apple note or something, and I'd paste it in every time, now you can save that prompt, but that's not all. There's more. Like, you can add different software scripts to it. You can upload PDFs with tons and tons of information on them, and it will, that GPT will analyze that information every time before it gives you your output. So now all of a sudden, things like writing, for example, it's completely, completely different, completely different. And I've been spending some time on LinkedIn and following some people who are these AI experts, and their content is basically, which kind of weird little meta thing here, is probably written by AI, or at least sure AI assisted,
at least
but
largely,
but they put all these tips out there. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But the most interesting tips are, they'll publish their prompts like, hey, oh, cool, try this, you know, like this one guy, Luke Matthews, who is a big LinkedIn influencer guy. And he uses a lot of AI for ghostwriting for his clients. And he has one called like the ancient ghostwriter secret prompt or something. Right. And he publishes it and it'll say like, you know, insert your favorite writer's name here, insert here, paste in the 5 blog posts that you love the most here. And then look at the output. It's magic. And then all the comments are like, wow, this is incredible. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So it for me, it went through that full phase of, huh, this is kind of cool, to, wow, I'm actually using this every once in a while, to, it's just like a browser tab that's always open. And it's not just one, it's like six different GPTs that I've written, and they're all open sitting on one screen because I use them so often. It's totally, totally wild. It just makes me wonder, wow, what's going to be next with that? Yeah,
I know.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that's my GPT-4 and custom GPTs.
Great. All right. So next on my list, I'm going to jump around here. It was actually started off as a platform called Wunderlist. And then Microsoft got their claws into it and bought it. So it's now called To-Do. And yeah, it is a robust to-do list. And you can create obviously as many lists as you want. I have one that is just marked today, and that's kind of like what I'm working on today. Inevitably, I don't get through it all, and it's just like this running list, but I kind of have like a primary one that I use just for capturing.
It's a backlog.
Yeah, it's a backlog. It's just so fast. You can attach things to it if you want. You know, sometimes I will, but primarily it's just the text that I'm interested in. It's my running list of things that I got to get done. If I'm on a call sometimes, I might be taking notes elsewhere, but if there's an action item, I'll just throw it in there. But as a family, we have, you know, grocery lists that we all share. We have like packing lists for various types of vacations that we go on, because like you need the same stuff if you're going to a beach vacation or up to Big Bear in the mountains. So we use it for everything, and it is so damn handy. It's got a great mobile interface. There's a desktop app, and it's certainly browser-based as well. So yeah, To-Do is something that I use 6, 7, 10 times a day, and I love it.
Man, I just completely forgot about that app.
Yeah.
Okay, question. When was the last time you took a deep dive into Apple Notes, because you're on an iPhone and you're on a Mac?
I never adopted it, and so I'm never on Apple Notes.
Okay. So I'm a dork. Like whenever a new version of iOS comes out, I go into all their utilities, and I'm like, and I watch the videos, and I'm like, oh, what were the updates? Because I was also a Wunderlist user like way prior to the acquisition, and now I'm just using Apple Notes.
Yeah,
because I'm curious. Like, are there any features? So that has like, there's like kind of threaded commenting for shared notes, right?
They're
in that.
Well, it's not really commenting because everything is about a list. You know what I mean?
It's just a list. Okay.
You can have like a category. So I have like vacations, and I have like different lists for different types of vacations, or for groceries, I have, you know, the Trader Joe's one and the Ralph's one and Target, you know? So, and then, yeah, you can share all of them, none of them, you know?
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, man, I'm just such a
no real comment to-do list dork. That I'm aware of.
And, but no real comment. Okay. So Apple Notes now, they introduced folders, like nested folders. It supports hashtags. Anybody like in the iCloud ecosystem, like another iPhone user, you can share a note with. So like I do the same thing. We have like a weekly grocery list, right?
Yeah.
So when my wife adds something to it, all of a sudden I'll hear like a little notification, and it'll show, oh, Danielle just added to the Whole Foods list, you know, put these items on, right? Or if, you know, she's at the store, I can see them getting like checked off in real time.
Yeah.
It's all asynchronous. And so that's, I kind of defaulted to Apple Notes. Interesting. Yeah. I think there's something to be said about familiarity too, right?
It is. Yeah.
Like I was kind of get attached to these products.
I was so deep in it, you know, like sure I could have migrated, but I was so used to it, and I don't think I pay anything for it to this day. I think it's still free. I just been all in on it.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got more of an esoteric one. I love really good Chrome extensions.
Yep.
Like I'm so into this whole ecosystem of Chrome extensions.
Totally.
And I like how lightweight they are, how the whole install into your browser is super, super seamless, and they're just really accessible, right? Yep. And they're always kind of like running in the background, and hopefully they're good. And, you know, there are some crappy Chrome extensions, and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, why won't my mail load? Oh, it's this weird extension that I installed, right? But there's one that I've been using forever, and they finally got me. I finally went to the paid version. Ooh. It wasn't a lot of money, but I've been using
the
free.
For you, though.
It's a lot for me, right? Like I will milk free software as long as I can. Such a horrible thing to say as a software developer.
I know.
It's true. So Momentum is basically just a, it's a really nice photograph whenever you open a new tab. That's really all it, like you launch this thing and it just surfaces some beautiful photograph from somewhere in the world. There's like attribution in the bottom left-hand corner, really small for the photographer. And it tells you where in the world that is. Okay. And then in the center of the screen, it just has a clock. And it says, you know, what is your name? What is your email? And that's your onboarding. That's how you register. So then it greets you. Good morning, Eric. Right.
Yep.
And so every new tab that you open, it has that, just like a super, super simple thing. Right. So instead of like opening a new Chrome tab to a default, like Google search bar, and you're just always looking at, you know, that white screen or whatever, it's like just some beautiful image of a hidden Chinese forest with these cliffs and waterfalls. And you're like, oh my God, where is that? You know, and every day it's like some new pretty image. Wow. And so I saw something like in the top right the other day. I'm like, oh, that's a new little icon thing. And I click on it. I'm like, oh, there's a little toolbar here. So all it does now is it kind of introduced this Pomodoro type timer into it. And I think parts of that are even free, but basically you can enter the amount of time you want to be working, what you want your rest time to be. And then it just has like a really pretty, just like a, like when it looks like one of the activity rings on an Apple Watch, you know, mm-hmm. like just a big open ring circle, the timer's in the middle. And it just asks like, what do you want to focus on during this time? Right.
Yeah.
That way, every time you open another tab, that's the default that opens. Say you had a 40-minute work block, you're 10 minutes in, and all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, I wonder what happened with that Instagram post I put up. And you know, you open up that next browser tab, you start to go to Instagram, but the default screen that you see is the image that's now kind of blurred in the background. This open ring with your 10 minutes elapsed that says you are currently focused on that proposal, you know, not Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
It's really nice, man. I just really appreciate the design, the simplicity. I think like the entire year license was, you know, I don't know, $20 or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't very much money to have like their full functionality.
Cool.
And I'd been using it for so many years for free. I was like,
I remember hearing about it when it came out, and I think I did try it. I don't think it really got me that well. I did enjoy the nice photos, but yeah, I think
yeah.
I am uninstalling it. Sorry, Momentum, like, but nah. Yeah. Well, they got a paid user out of you. Well, totally. Let's keep the Chrome extension going then.
All right.
I got one that I can't say I use every day, but when I do, it's obviously a wonderful tool, and it is called Loom. LOOM. And it is a really
took one, you bastard. You took one.
So yeah, a really great screen recording platform. Really great for any kind of tutorials or just trying to explain something to, you know, usually a client. But really great way to walk through software and, you know, designs. And you can have your picture in the corner if you want. So it, you know, you can make it a little bit more personal. You can record entire screens or just tabs. They make it really easy. I'm still on their free version, which allows you to have, I don't know, 25, you know, assets basically at any given time. And like, if you just delete them, which I generally don't need them forever, you know, you can just keep going. But I think it's a pretty reasonable.
Dude, I can't believe you're still on the free version. Wow.
Well, that's amazing. I don't use it that much, but with, like, I'll find myself at certain times where I'm like using it all the time, you know, when I'm doing some testing or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really powerful. I really do like it.
I think they got me as a subscriber like in week two.
Did they? Oh, wow.
Like I'd already exceeded the limit. It's because I'd recorded so much for our whole, you know, repo of operating procedures.
Oh yeah.
And those are, you kind of need those forever. Yep. I was like, after week one, it was like, you want to make some more of those? $20 a month, buddy, or whatever it is.
Totally. Yep.
They got me early on that one. Okay, man. I'm going to up your Chrome extension with another Chrome extension.
Okay.
And this is a super random one, and it's free, and it's super, super simple. But when you're writing something, and especially if it's for one of the bazillion social media channels out there, and let's be honest, every business has to do something with social media these days, right?
Yep.
there are all these sweet spots for character count, right? For character count and for word count. Usually it's focused around character count, right? So this thing will perform the best on LinkedIn if it is under 1100 characters, or you know, I want to take this blog post and I just want to throw it on Instagram, but Instagram has a 2200 character count limit, I believe, for a post, for the copy, right? Mm-hmm. The blog's probably going to be a lot longer. So, hey, I could just throw that into GPT, but I got to tell GPT, well, how many characters do I need to condense this like 4-page thing into to reuse it, right?
Yep.
So what this little extension does is if you highlight any text anywhere on your screen and then you right click, there'll be a little affordance in the menu that opens up the counters and tells you how many words, how many characters, how many paragraphs. Like, it just gives you a bunch of metadata over everything you highlighted. And it's just like, it's right there in the right click. It's super, super fast and easy. And I always think I have an eye for this stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's probably about 500 characters. And I'm like, nope, I was off by 100%. Like, it's really, I don't know, man. It's like a really hard thing to just look at and judge. So it's a great sanity check. And it's, I mean, especially useful for, there's all these things like on LinkedIn, for example, your headline, I think it's 62 characters will show everywhere on the platform. Like, anytime you do anything on the platform, like right under your name, somebody's going to see like the first 62 characters of whatever it is you say that you do.
Yep.
So you really want to nail those 62 characters. And instead of like going through 4 nested menus on a Google document or counting your cursor clicks as you move it over, it's so fast to just, you highlight something, right click, boom. Oh, there it is. So I use that one all the time. It's really cool.
Nice. And did you even say the name of it? If you did, I missed it.
What? I don't know. Did I? Oh, no, I don't think I did. It's called Word Counter Plus. And so it's in the, it's in the Chrome extension store. It's free.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's continue the Chrome extension. I only have one more.
All right, man.
Vouch for at this point. So this one is called WAPalyzer. And this is a Chrome extension that when you bring up
WAPalyzer.
Yes.
I think that's a rap song, no?
I think it was, But not by P. Diddy. I don't think he did that one. So WAPalyzer, you open up any website and you open up this Chrome extension and it'll tell you the tech stack basically that it's built on. So it can be really helpful, you know, when you're talking to a client and you say, oh, I can see that you're on WordPress, or this is clearly Shopify, or it can give breakdown down to the language of PHP and some of the other integrations and frameworks, analytics tools. It gives you just a lot of really good insights into websites. So since that's our business, it's nice to know sometimes before we're going into a call, you know, what they're already using and kind of where they might find some improvements. So WAPalyzer.
I use, what is it called? It's called BuiltWith, and it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It will tell you like front end, back end. It will tell you any sort of like ad stuff that's running. It'll say like, oh, this has a Facebook pixel.
Yep.
Or this is using Google Analytics, or it's on AWS. It is really cool. Like, and I'm surprised like how few people use it. And you'll get on a call and you'll ask somebody like, oh, well, what CMS are you using? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, it's your website, right? Like, and then you just go on there and you feel like a wizard.
I know, yeah.
You know, you're like,
totally.
Oh, it's WordPress, but you're using an outdated version. And it looks like you also have WooCommerce installed, but looks like you have a different payment gateway. And they're just like, wow, this guy's a genius. Yeah, that's a really good one, man. I feel like you kind of took it. You kind of took it. Even though I'm using BuiltWith, I'm going to give you that one. That one's really good. Okay. I'll end with another one that I only recently discovered, and I've been using this thing all the time. It's called ReadWise.
I have
heard
of
that one.
I've not used it though.
It's both a Chrome extension, but also a web service. It's really, really cool. I know there's a bunch of stuff out there where you can highlight things around the web and then, you know, it will roll it all up into a note that you can go back and reference, and you can see like, where did I find it and go back to that link and everything else. you know, much better than just cutting and pasting URLs into your
yes.
to-do list, right? But I didn't know it did this, and this is so cool. So I am definitely a Power Kindle user. Like, I have hundreds of books mm-hmm. on my Kindle. I will always, you know, upgrade to a newer one so that I have longer battery and more storage. I just love this idea of taking an entire library and throwing it in my backpack and getting on a plane or whatever. I love the Kindle, and especially since they started using the amber backlight so that you can turn it on at night and not have like white light blasting into your eyes. So on Readwise, you can now sign into your Amazon account, right? So it tunnels into your Amazon account, and then any highlights that you make on your book while you're reading, it compiles those into Readwise as well, right? And then they send you this weekly email digest of like, hey, Eric, here was your week of reading or the web or whatever, right? So super, super useful. If you're a content creator, you can highlight stuff you're reading where like, oh, wow, I love this quote, or I love this idea, or this, you know, this mental model or framework, or this blog post that you read, whatever it is. And then at the end of the week, you can get this little report of all the things that you have been reading about or seeing on the web. And it's all in one nice little package.
Slick.
And it's really cool, man. And they do charge for that one. I think they'll give you very like, you know, bare bones freemium. But if you want to hook up your Amazon account to it, which I was just like, oh, once I saw that, I'm like,
you're
of
in.
Course I got to pay. So
I'm
in.
Readwise.
I'm in.
I'm going to try that one.
Yeah.
I had heard of it. I don't.
Readwise.
It was on my list to try, so I haven't gotten there yet.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Well, dude, I feel like we just scratched the surface.
I know. We'll do a part two.
Because if we have to, because if I look at the length of our conversation versus our monthly invoices from all these SaaS products, there's definitely some disparity there.
We got a few more.
Thousands and thousands of dollars more of SaaS products that we're definitely bought into.
Well, as a teaser, I will be recommending a SaaS platform that will help you trim those costs, because I have one that we use. So till next time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. We've got some big ones. I mean, the ones that we throw the most money at, we didn't even mention. There are some big ones. Awesome, man. Well, hey,
you too.
Good weekend. And
this absolutely.
Was fun, bud. What's Good is brought to you by the Vouch app. What if your Instagram feed was filled only with the things that your friends loved so much they'd recommend them to you? That's Vouch. Discover the best products, podcasts, restaurants, recipes, books, services, and more with Vouch. Download it for free in the Apple App Store for iPhones or Google Play for Android. What's Good is also brought to you by Spark 6, a creative agency that designs and develops mobile apps, websites, and custom software for both startups and Fortune 500 companies. Music is by Connor Price. Find him on Spotify.
Yeah. Call my name, I'll be there any night and any day. Take my hand, I got you. That'll always stay the same. Less of my time spent with myself, I wouldn't trade it for anything else. You got my eyes, I got your back. You want-